This is 91.7 FM WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk. It's not that. It is January 22nd, 2020. I have the wrong date on here. Shame on me. Anyway, welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch.
Yo.
A show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show and are listening live, please call me at 860-486-9487, or you can email at bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can send an email to bicycletalk, the numeral one, at gmail.com, or you can visit and comment at Bicycle Talk on Facebook. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on WHUS.org, iTunes, or now on Spotify. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Ron's rant of the week. Here we go. In the put down your bleeping cell phone department, Florida is in the news again. Good old Florida. Boy, Florida gets a lot of, I pick on Florida a lot. But you know what? It just came through. this is terrible. Driver who killed two Florida cyclists receives no jail time. All right. Florida bicycle deaths. Here we go again. This is kind of becoming a regular subject with these guys. I don't quite understand, but something is going on down in Florida. If anyone knows what's going on down in Florida, please get a hold of us, because I am dying to talk about this with someone who could possibly make a difference. So this,
I could put you in touch with the president and, you know, the board of the Gulf Coast Velo.
I think that would be good. Okay. I think we should probably do that in the future. Okay, so this woman, her name is Nicole Vanderwhite, gets a fine, community service, and a suspended license, but won't do any jail time. None. Zero. Zip. Nada. So, get this. This happened November 25th, 2018, in Broward County, Florida. She was driving her car. She struck a group of 15 cyclists during a morning ride. Okay. She was sentenced to pay. This is how she ended up with this. She killed two people and injured a bunch of others. Last week, she was sentenced to pay a $1,000 civil penalty, complete 120 hours of community service, and her license will be suspended for 6 months. Let's try 6 years.
So, by the way, please, if you're curious about where Broward County is,
I am.
That's where it's on the East Coast. It's there's the Everglades are in it, and Fort Lauderdale and Hollywood are in it. It's south of Delray and Boca Raton, but it's where Fort Lauderdale
way
and
down
Hollywood.
There. Yeah.
And it's very busy.
It's the busy coast is the East Coast. Not that the West Coast isn't busy. They're all busy.
Yes.
But it is busier on the East Coast than it is on the West Coast. But anyway, survivors of the crash and family members of the victim said the penalty is like getting run over all again. More than a year after she drove her Honda Fit into a group of 15 cyclists. Doesn't matter what size your car is there, folks. A Honda Fit is a very small vehicle. But she drove it into a group of 15 cyclists, killing two of them. She stood in front of a Florida judge last week and pleaded no contest to careless driving. Survivors and family members of the victim say the sentence she was given victimized them all over again. I agree. She killed Denise Marsh, 53, and Carlos Rodriguez, 62. Three other riders, Edgar Reyes, 48, Maria Batusti, 56, and John Beats, 49, sustained serious injuries while a 14-year-old rider suffered road rash and a concussion. According to the Sun Sentinel, Vanderwhite was speeding, traveling more than 65 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone, when she looked down for a second and felt an impact. Looked down for a second. If she looked down for a second and all of a sudden, out of the blue, 15 cyclists appear, it was more than a second.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can tell you right now, from both sides of this, being in a group of 15 cyclists and also being in a vehicle that sees 15 cyclists in front of me, You see them from a long way back.
Sure you do.
So she wasn't looking down for a second.
That's what they say. Not at all. But you know that my father darted out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you
he
use
darted the, out from if, nowhere.
So hello, Florida. If you use the right verbiage down in Florida, you can get away with murder.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's just amazing. So although a crash expert told prosecutors that Vanderwijk should have been able to see the bicyclists almost 10 seconds in advance of a crash, she didn't begin to brake until between 1.1 and 2.5 seconds before the fatal collision. So she was not paying attention. She was probably looking at her cell phone.
15 people.
15 people.
I mean, it's not how like it was one.
I mean, it's not like exactly, exactly. Okay.
And what time of day was it?
It was a morning. It was in the morning.
Right. So it's bright. It's broad daylight.
Broad
it's
daylight
sunshine,
in the morning.
And there's 15 of them. It's hard to miss 15 cyclists.
Absolutely.
Even if they're all wearing black.
That's like not seeing two large SUVs.
Sure.
I mean, the space that 15 cyclists is going to take up.
That's right.
Right.
And they're probably all wearing all, I mean, I'm joking so, that it would be hard to miss them even if they were all wearing black. They weren't all, I guarantee they weren't all wearing black. They're wearing, you know, they're wearing their clown suits.
So my question is, if she were to hit a large, let's say, vehicle of some sort and kill the person inside that vehicle, would she get at least vehicular homicide for that?
Something, yeah.
But because they're on bicycles, no? Hey, Florida, wake up. Come on, because I've got more comments on this. So despite that evidence, prosecutors declined to seek criminal charges against Vanderwijk, saying her carelessness didn't amount to vehicular homicide. Instead, Vanderwijk pleaded no contest to careless driving traffic violation and will pay a $1,000 civil penalty as well as complete 120 hours of community service and a hospital trauma ward. Good move. Her license will be suspended for 6 months, and she must also attend traffic school. Yeah. In traffic school, they need to teach her to put her hands on the steering wheel and her eyes on the glass. That would be a good thing to learn at traffic school. One of the survivors of the crash said that's not nearly enough. I'm in agreement. The state attorney, this is quote unquote, the state attorney said the families agreed to the sentence, but not one of us did. This is interesting. One of the survivors who attended to the wounded that day, I do not know how they got that. It was a slap in the face. It's just like we were run over all over again. Vanderwijk got away with murder. So Danny Rodriguez, the son of Carlos Rodriguez, told the media, quote unquote, it's like their lives didn't even matter. There was no justice.
There needs to be a lawsuit.
I agree. I think there does need to be, and I don't know where you would go with that legally. But we have a person who heard us on our show previously who listens, and he says, hello, Ron. Speaking of Florida bike deaths, a few years back, an old family friend's daughter who lived in Florida was riding over the bridge to Sanibel Island. A truck struck the cyclist, throwing her over the railing and to her death in the ocean in front of a bunch of boaters. The bridge has a huge bike lane on both sides. I've ridden over it several times. I love road riding, but it's gotten a lot more dangerous with the whole cell phone distracted driving thing. Nasty story. Thanks for the great bike show. This is Ron F. who responded to this. This goes back to 2012. And it's just, you know, it's the same deal. The driver of the truck, Teresa Shirley, appeared in court Monday for a traffic citation. All right. The person who was hit, the woman who was hit, their family is upset that she's not facing criminal charges because five different prescription drugs were found in her system.
All right? Wow.
Not only that, she was impaired. I want everyone to know this morning, the woman that killed our daughter, and this woman killed our daughter, and she's getting a traffic fine. Just terrible. Shirley is accused, here we go, of swerving out of her lane, okay, knocking bicyclist Kleinpel off the bridge and into the water, killing her. But after a long investigation, Shirley is not facing any charges in her death. It's tragic. It's very tragic. It's heartbreaking that this happened to this woman. But under Florida law, we can not file a charge in the case, said Samantha Sione, spokesman for the state attorney general's office. state attorney's office. The state's attorney's office said Shirley Swerve was careless, but not a crime. So no field sobriety tests were given because even though Shirley admitted to taking the prescription drugs, she didn't appear impaired at the time. Toxicology reports didn't link any of Shirley's prescription medicines to her falling asleep at the wheel either. There's no law that says you can't take medications and drive, but cycling advocates accuse Florida Highway Patrol of not fully investigating the matter. We have a thing about the Florida Highway Patrol. Dan Mosier of Bike Ped Matters says Florida Highway Patrol has a pro-motorist bias and exonerates drivers at the scene. He says they demand changes. For starters, we'd like to see FHP recuse themselves from investigating any more traffic homicides until they really take a review of their process. And of course, this news station that reported this back in the day said they called the Florida Highway Patrol for comment, but they didn't respond. This is hello, Florida. Are you guys listening? I know I'm just a little old bicycle show, but I got to tell you, your laws are terrible. And last week we commented on the fact that your laws, you have the most fatalities in the nation. And it's not by a little bit. It's a pretty noticeable difference as far as that goes. So Florida, get it together, man. You are just really, really screwing up bad, and people are dying over it, and it's because you're too car-centric and too car-friendly down there. It's time to wake up. Wake up. It's just a terrible thing. So anyway, let's move on to the positive side. Okay. Anyway, I thank you again, Ron, for writing into us. If you have a comment you want to write into us, you can write to bicycletalk1@gmail.com, and I will respond, and you might even get a shout-out on the show, which is kind of cool. On a positive side, here it is. We have a caller. Okay. I'm going to just do the positive side real quick, and then I'll go to the caller. Okay? So we'll go there. On a positive side, Fran and Ron, the two people that you're listening to right now, both with Radio Naturopath and also with Bicycle Talk, are now on Spotify. We're on Spotify. So if you want to listen to us, we are now also on Spotify. All our shows will be there. Stop in and give it a listen. Yes, and I have a caller apparently too. So anyway, hello, caller.
Hello, Ron. It's Billy.
Hey, Billy. How are you?
I'm all right. I was really looking forward. I've missed your show the last couple of weeks. So I was really looking forward to this, and I was just telling Fran that I heard that report about Florida.
Yeah,
and it raised my blood pressure. And of course,
we don't want to do that. We don't. Let's talk about Connecticut and people getting hit in Connecticut while riding a bike.
Like me?
Yeah.
Wait, let him say what he was going to say.
Go ahead. Go.
I was going to say I told Fran your report raised my blood pressure, and she gave me a prescription of magnesium. And,
of course she did. I heard her doing that. So, you know, when I heard her on the other side here and I heard her on the phone, I went, oh, well, one of her patients just called. No.
Actually, I'm not one of her patients, but I've been taking a lot of her advice. And, you know, one of them was CBD cream. And I was a naysayer, and it has been helping the pains in my back.
No kidding. How about
yay.
That?
So, Franny, your ace is in my book.
Woo-hoo.
Yeah. She's all right. We'll keep her around for a while.
She's a keeper.
She's a keeper.
To speak out to people, I mean, you know, when I hear 15 people get plowed into is one thing. I was one person on a road. It was questionable. It was around sunrise. But I can guarantee you, I rerode that road 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And the comment was, she came around the corner and there he was.
Well, right. It's the get out of jail free card.
It was not around the corner and there he was. It is fully visible the entire way on. You could see it. And I had a flashing light on me and a screaming, don't hit me yellow.
Right.
Jersey on.
I was just going to say, you're a responsible enough rider that you actually have all the preparation to keep you from getting hit from behind. And you still got hit from behind.
And I still got hit from behind. And I was talking to my spin instructor, Elmer, and he even said, he's been hit 3 times.
Ah.
But he says he's never been hit. Well, Elmer is also a former crit racer and a lunatic. But he.
Well, you have to be a crit racer.
Well, yeah.
No offense to you, crit racers out there, but you guys are in a different game in a different land.
Yeah. Well, he has never been hit from behind, and he says to this day that is his biggest fear. And mm-hmm. you know, so it's he was talking about going out and riding, before the sunrise. I says, I've kind of done away with riding in the dark. I'm just a little skittish about that right now. So, but people. I see a lot of people on my way to spin class in the morning when it's dark. I see a lot of people driving. Everybody is in a bloody hurry at that hour.
Yeah, they are.
5 minutes, get up 5 minutes early. I see them racing into a factory at 2 minutes of five. Obviously, they're starting a 5 o'clock shift.
Right.
Set
I know.
Set an alarm 10 minutes early.
I know.
Get there on time and pay attention.
The key here really is pay attention. I recently got a new motorized vehicle, and that new motorized vehicle has this thing called Apple CarPlay in it. And so when I get into my car now, I plug my phone into this thing, and I no longer look at my phone. I mean, not even close. It will do everything for me while I'm driving. It's kind of amazing, and I give a big cyclist thumbs up of positive for this, because it works. It definitely keeps me from looking down at that phone. I won't look at it. I don't even put a phone holder in the car anymore. I just put it down on a shelf. The only downside of that is I leave my phone in the car often and walk away from it, because I completely forget, because I don't need it anymore. I'm not looking at it for directions or anything. It's great. But
I've gotten to the point where I have been turning my phone off.
That's a better idea. Turn
the
phone
line
off.
Bottom line is, people out there, mm-hmm. you don't need to text. You can wait the 10 minutes to get to your destination. If somebody leaves you a message, I'm not that important an individual that I have to have that call immediately.
Yeah.
I'm really not. I have a pretty, I'm not going to say it's a worthless life, but it's, a pretty uneventful life. I cycle and... That's it. By the way, I picked up my new bike yesterday, and it is gorgeous.
Woohoo! All right. New bikes are wonderful.
Oh, it is just incredible. And shout out to Steve and Deb at Bicycles East in Glastonbury.
Yay, Steve and Deb.
Phenomenal job.
Yeah. They're real good. They're very thorough. Steve is very thorough. That's the nice way of saying it. I called him something else one day, and he looked at me questionably, and Deb couldn't stop laughing. But, yeah. But we do know that he's very particular about how things come out, so which is good.
He didn't let me out of there until he had that seat tweaked just
right. I know. He's got incredible attention to detail.
He's very good. Mm-hmm. He made me two custom wheels. He actually showed me the chart with the tension on every spoke. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Talk about wow.
So this is a shout out to the local bike shop thing. I talk about it all the time on the show. I really try to promote it as much as possible. If you do not support your local bike shop, you won't have a bike shop like this available to you. And it's support your local bike shop. That's all I'm saying. It's a good thing. So that's great. So you didn't get a chance to ride it yet, right? Because it's kind of cruddy
out. Friday. And by the way,
you are
riding out of Saybrook Point if you'd like to join us.
Oh, boy. What time?
About 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Saybrook Point.
When?
No, on Friday. Not for you.
Friday?
Not for you. She'll be working. She'll be working.
Well, isn't that a shame?
But I may have some flexibility. I might have to join you. So text me on that one.
Training coaches ride, and we would like to invite you along as an honorary coach.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Let me see how that works out, and if it does, I'd love to join you. What's the weather going? What's
47 degrees?
47. Okay, so it breaks. It breaks into my I don't ride under 40 kind of thing. That's good.
It's okay. Paul has a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue that you can want to throw a couple of shots into your
coffee. Whoa, I'm coming. That's good. That's an inspiring thought right there. That's good.
No, neither Paul nor I drink, so no, he's leaving the he got that at a trade show somebody gave to him. He actually gave it away, so he said that to me 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Oh, I know.
Oh, my heart has been broken. Well, that's all right. We're still talking about bikes, so I'm still good.
All right. So, Fran, by the way, you are invited as well if you want to cancel all your appointments.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's probably not going to happen.
And blessedly, I am very busy on Friday, so thank you. But,
That is
I have to play on my non-patient care days.
She has to take care of all those, you know, broken cyclists out there that need to get fixed. So,
Yeah.
No, and others, too. And others, too. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Friend well, does good things.
Thank you for putting me on. And
sure.
Like I'm saying, I'll just say one more thing to the people out there. You're coming into cycling season. You don't see as many cyclists on the road, but, you know, we're starting to turn the corner. In February and March, you'll start to see more and more of us out there.
Right.
Please put, my wife says it the best. Hang up and drive.
Hang up and drive. That's it.
That's really it. And that's it. And, you know, no, I didn't die, but I was a very lucky man. I did bounce off the woman's hood.
I know you did.
Feeling. That's not a pleasant feeling.
And then I got the phone call from you at the hospital that morning.
Yeah, you probably did. I was bored.
Yeah, you called me. You called me. I definitely talked to you about it. So we're kind of talking to an audience here that is we're pretty much all in the same train of thought here. But this is something as I am speaking out to my audience of cyclists, you need to spread this word to everyone that you communicate with too. That, you know, it's really important because, you know, the people that are riding bicycles out there, they are people, their mothers, their fathers, their sisters, brothers, grandparents, sons, daughters. You know, we can go down the list, but they all belong to someone somewhere out there, and their life being affected by your negligence is not going to just affect that person. It's going to also affect everyone around them. And I always like to point out things like, you know, you could be also, I ride with police officers, I ride with firefighters, I have ridden with a judge, I have ridden with, you know, a number of people that could put a really serious impact on your life if you were to hit them. So, you know, let's look at it from a different perspective. Anyway.
Amen to that.
Really. Yeah. So you're better now after being, you know, run over by that car, right? Is that still your back issue that you're having?
It's you know, you're talking a lot of soft tissue, a lot of muscles, tendons, ligaments. Mm-hmm. I had a sprained ankle one time. It took a full year for that to heal 100%. So I'm shooting for minor victories here and there. And,
okay.
it's betterer. I feel good in a cycling position. I'm able to attend spin class 3 mornings a week. It's getting there. It's getting there. Is it 100%? No. But as long as I can feel comfortable on a bike, that's really all I care about.
But on a positive side, at least you can ride your bike.
Well, that wasn't an option. It was not an option not to ride that bike, Ron. I mean,
good.
You know me.
Good. Hey, Billy, thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate it. Maybe I'll see you on a Friday.
Okay, hopefully.
All right. Bye-bye. Very cool. So anyway, that was our friend Billy, who is a friend of the show and a friend of cycling, and we ride with each other, which is kind of cool, and it was great that he called in. And remember, if you want to call in, you can call in to Fran. Give me that number. You know it off the top of your head.
The number is 860-486-9487. That's 860-486-9487. I am standing by.
And that is if you are listening live at this time. If you're not listening live at this time and you want to make a comment to us, just you can make a comment on Bicycle Talk on Facebook, or you can also send an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. And I'd love to hear from you. All right. So next thing on my list, the maintenance minute. As I'm walking over here to the student union where we broadcast out of here on WHUS on the UConn campus, I noticed that there are a tremendous number of bicycles that are all tied up and wrapped up and not being used very much on bicycle racks around town and around the campus, and they kind of have been there for a while. And they were here throughout the whole winter break here. We had the Christmas and New Year's break. And they were out there. And they got snowed on. And they got rained on. And so my maintenance minute is, what happens when you leave your bike outside? I'll tell you what happens. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all. So here's how quickly your parts start to degrade and what you can do to bring them back from the dead. All right. So it happens. Sometimes you just can't do anything about it. Sometimes you're an apartment dweller. Maybe you live on the third floor. Maybe you ride a tandem, and how the heck do you get that thing in? But, you know, that's the thing. It happens. So sometimes your beloved two-wheel machine is just a little too inconvenient to bring inside. So the question is, are you guilty of leaving your bike out in the cold? This actually comes from an article from Bicycling Magazine. I thought it was kind of interesting, so I figured I would touch base on it, like a lot of the stuff that Bicycling Magazine does. So the question is, are you guilty of leaving your bike out in the cold? There's actually a Q&A on this. So one answer is, yeah, it's hard to find proper storage. And the other one is, no way, I'd rather sleep with it than leave it outside. We fall into that particular mindset right there. So
we used to keep our bikes in the garage, and now they moved into the downstairs.
Well, we could still keep them in the garage. They would be nice in there, and they would be happy in there too.
No, it's too cold.
But, no,
I want to put them in the house. They're my baby.
Yeah, Fran, her bicycles are like her stuffed animals. They're very
they're very important and special.
Yeah. But the stuffed animals sleep in the bed with us.
Right. Like, yeah. We
don't let the bikes in the bed.
No.
But anyway, yes, we would rather have our bikes inside. And our bikes are inside. We try to keep them, you know, protected.
If they built a bicycle that I could, you know, hold my own in a Paceline or a Peloton, but was also mushy and cute with a smiley face, I would keep that in the bed.
Oh my goodness. I just don't know where to go with that. I do not. So how long can you leave a bike outside before your components start to degrade? So that depends on several conditions, says Daniel Slusser at SRAM. First off, how old is your bike? A newer bike, say something in the past 5 to 10 years, is more likely to have better seals on the hubs, headsets, and other parts that block out corrosion from moisture, particularly if the bike is on the higher end. It also depends on where you live. Bikes parked in places with a lot of rain or humidity are more likely to corrode more quickly. That's an interesting point right there, too. When I had my bicycle shop, I had a roving mechanic who would go from shop to shop and pretty much pick up the messes that we would make in the summer when we would get so overbooked as far as repairs would go. He would come in and he would give me a day of time, and he would just rally and get things back up to speed again so we could turn the bikes over fairly quickly. And he used to work down on the coast, and then he would come inland to where my bike shop was. So the difference between my bicycle shop and those on the coast is my bicycle shop was more than just I'm not going to say it was an enthusiast store, but it was, it was an enthusiast store. But it was also, it also met the needs of a lot of people who needed a bicycle for transportation. So the bikes were used when they came into the store. So between the enthusiast level, which the enthusiast level was, you know, someone who was out pounding out hundreds of miles a week, and then the others that were using it for commuting, because we are next to a couple of universities here, so we had a lot of commuting traffic and a lot of people that used their bikes that way. The bikes that came in my store, when they came in needing attention, needing serious attention in some cases. And the bikes that my friend Jay used to work on down on the coast would come in with salty rust on them, but working just fine. Other than the fact that the cables were rusted and the chains were rusted, and just because they were right next to the coast, and therefore the salt tends to eat away at the bikes a little bit. So he used to say that my bikes that he worked on it was like a MASH unit, you know, it was triage on the bikes because they were really, really hurting. And whereas down on the coast, he could just do a little cleanup, a little wipe and dipe, and replace a couple of cables, maybe a chain here and there, and the bikes were good as new. So it does really depend on where you live and a lot of things like that. But just so you know, that leaving your bike out for a couple of days isn't really a big deal. even if it's left in the rain. But after a week, you're going to start seeing visible damage. The chain's going to start to rust, especially if you live in a wet area. It's a slow process. It'll vary bit by bit based on the level of chain that you have on your bike. Higher-end chains have more stainless steel parts, so they don't rust as quickly and as the lower-end chains, which are mainly steel. From there, all of the parts will degrade. With heat, your plastic and rubber parts will start to break down. We used to have bikes that came in that it spent a long time outside, and they'd have rubber hoods on top of the brake levers, and they would literally melt onto to the brakes. And people would say, "Can you give me a new set of hoods too?" And we would have to cut and chip the hoods off of the brake levers because they were so bad. Sometimes we had to even take the torch and kind of melt them a little bit to get them off. It was pretty bad. But anyway, yeah, so things can happen. So rubber parts, that's a problem. The colors will fade. The plastic will become brittle. That's not too much of a concern in the cold weather, but when the temperatures drop, you'll have more issues with rust and seize parts if you're not storing your bike inside. Bolts can seize up because you have dissimilar metals together, and eventually they just corrode and get stuck. Your bearings will also start to seize and congeal or break down. Then your cables will corrode, and the steel cable inside will get oxide on it. You'll have lots of drag to degrade your shifting and braking. The sun will also degrade the plastic parts on your bike. One in particular is the sheath on the outer end of the cable housing. That will break down and crack, and you'll see all the wires from the housing coming out. So, yeah, the timeline for damage depends on whether your bike is in direct sunlight or humidity. In the worst-case scenario, it might take about a month for all that corrosion to go down. In a place like Southern California, where the weather is darn near perfect, you have a mid-range and you have mid-range components on your bike, it could take 3 or 4 months before you start seeing anything like that in a bike protected from the sun and rain. So, you know, we're up here in the good old Northeast, and we have weather, and we have lots of weather, and the weather changes almost daily sometimes. So you never, the best thing to do is to find a place to put your bike indoors. If you have to put your bike outside, they do make these large sort of, I guess they would be made out of plastic or vinyl covers, kind of like you would put over a grill outside on your deck, that you could put over your bike, and that would be at least some protection for your bike. And again, apartment dwellers, I know that there's concern here. I know they don't like you to bring your bikes inside the building. Sometimes it's actually in your lease agreement, so you don't want to do that. Sometimes they're kind enough to have a storage area down in the basement that you can actually put your bike, which is good. But you got to get the bike out of the elements, and your bike will be a lot happier. And, you know, I can tell when bikes are unhappy because they have a very sad face on them. So anyway, that comes from the guy who Fran calls the bike whisperer, because I have a certain way of communicating on them. So the answer is really, the real answer here is bring your bike inside. Try not to leave it outside for an extended period of time. There is a bicycle that is chained up to, or it was the last time I walked into the student union, chained up to the chain downstairs, the chain/fencing area that says no bikes on it. And it's been there for a month and a half and it has not moved. And so I don't know who owns that, but I would say that somebody should come along and with a good set of bolt cutters and bring it out to our friends at Bisico in Hartford and let them fix it up and give it to someone who really cares, because obviously the owner of that bike does not. It's been there for a long, long time. So what happens when you leave your bike outside? Bad things happen when you leave your bike outside. So let's not do that. Moving on into the show a little further, we have been talking, I'm picking on Florida, I'm picking on New York. New York has left itself fairly vulnerable too, but they've left herself vulnerable because of this whole e-bike, electric bike thing. So right after my show, a couple of days after my show last week, Governor Cuomo says he wants to legalize e-bikes, e-scooters, but provides no details. He says, let's expand on e-bikes and e-scooters, Cuomo said shortly into his speech without going into specifics. So this was in his address to the state, and it was his budget address last Tuesday, and it included a broad mention of a plan to legalize e-bikes and e-scooters in the state, but did not explain what legalization would look like. And his comment, again, let's expand e-bikes and e-scooters. You know, he said the topic was addressed in one paragraph. Enacting comprehensive e-bike and e-scooter legislation to get more people out of cars, the governor is proposing a comprehensive legislation to legalize and expand e-bike and e-scooter network without compromising on public safety. Well, did someone get the memo? Oh, my goodness. These guys, between him and, was it de Blasio, who's in New York City? They were so against this whole e-bike thing or anything that had electric and possibly had a throttle on it, and which a lot of the delivery people were using. And, you know, I'm telling you, the size of a even if it's a three-wheeled worksman bike with a motor attached to it to assist it, it's way smaller than a big delivery van. So you can put a whole lot more of those on your streets than you can put big trucks on your streets. So apparently somebody like tapped him on the shoulder and said, Governor, you might want to rethink this. You know, we've got a huge problem with congestion in the city. So a little bit of a shout out to the governor for interrupting his idea of let's get these things off the street. They're no good. And now looking at it as, you know, this might actually work. So a little bit of a shout out to them. We're going to keep our eyes on this and see what Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio come up with here, because their ideas were obviously from some time in the past. So fortunately, you know, they woke up. So anyway, we'll move on from good old New York and their, you know, their ways of doing things. So the next thing I'd like to talk about is that coming up, and this will be in also announced in our calendar section, but the Safe Streets for Everyone, the 21st annual National Bike Summit, is coming up, and it is in Arlington, Virginia / Washington, D.C., March 15th through the 17th. So this is a big deal. It's the 21st National Bike Summit. Advocates will come together to collaborate on a shared vision of safe streets for everyone, which is this year's summit's theme. In panel discussions, keynote talks, poster presentations, expanded network opportunities, summit attendees will learn how to influence federal policy and how their peers across the country are confronting the public health crisis facing America. People who bike, walk, or use a wheelchair are in increasing danger on our roads, preventing more Americans from enjoying the benefits of biking and physical activity. So the summit is being finalized off of this last posting here. It's a preview of the programming that you can expect. Keynote speakers Kia Chatterjee from the U.S. Climate Action Network and Robbie Miller, who raised alarms about AV testing on our roads. That would be interesting to hear. The War on Cars will join us for an evening of podcasting. The advocates like Danny Harris from the Transportation and Alternatives and Amy Cohen, co-founder of Families for Safe Streets, will share with us the powerful voices of survivors. The Insurance Institute for Highway Safety is scheduled to demonstrate how it tests cars' automatic emergency braking systems. Discover Traffic Gardens will host a traffic garden throughout the summit that you can explore while grabbing a bite to eat at the Food Truck Corral. Meetings on Capitol Hill to enhance our legislative agenda to build safer streets for people biking and walking. And APBP will host a professional development day on Tuesday, March 17th, offering credits for those who are attending. So There's if you go onto the League of American Bicyclists, you will find more information there. There is a registration page that you can go to, which you can sign up for this, which is kind of cool. It would be a really, really fun thing to go to. I've always wanted to go to one of these, but I've never been able to. But you will find there's, you know, hotels you can stay at that are fairly close by. There's a lot of things you can, there's lots of ways you can get around, and you can even rent a bike in the D.C. area. I will say that when we were down in D.C. and in that general area, Arlington, D.C. area, there were definitely some bike paths around. There were definitely places you could safely ride your bike, so that was kind of cool.
We're going back.
We are going back, yes, yeah. Because our nephew, Zach, is getting married.
Yeah, mazel tov.
Yeah.
Erica.
And he works for the Department of Commerce.
Yeah.
So he's a very, very busy boy, especially right. Since the new administration came in.
Yeah.
Because there's all sorts of people that are applying for, you know, things with the Department of Commerce to keep tariffs from happening to them, et cetera, et cetera.
So we're totally going to ride our bikes down there.
So, yes, that is the plan. The plan is to bring bikes, ride bikes.
And go visit Alice and Kevin.
Yeah, we'll be close. We'll only be about an hour away, so we should definitely go see them.
Yeah,
and there are friends that live over in Virginia, just south of Winchester, and trying to think of the name of the town right now, and you'll probably
Strasburg.
Remember. Strasburg, Virginia.
Strasburg.
And they have a B&B, and that is a bike and bed. So it's a place that they welcome cyclists to come and stay. And I'll tell you, Kevin will take you for a bike ride, which you will never forget, because it's beautiful down there. And there's great roads, and it's quiet, and it's really, really pretty. And I can see why they moved out there to begin their retirement, because it really is a beautiful spot. So a shout out if you happen to be listening. We love you guys. You're always a lot of fun to stay with. We really appreciate your hospitality. And we will hopefully see you sometime soon. That would be really nice. Maybe we should try to work that out. So anyway, March 15th through the 17th, Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C., the 21st Annual National Bike Summit. Is this something you're interested in? If you're actually interested in any level whatsoever, this is a really good time for me to, you know, it's still January. You can still add on to your New Year's resolutions. I think that they're amendable. And you can add on to it and you can say, I am going to get in touch with my local state and local legislators, and I'm going to let them know that I am and someone who is interested in bicycle advocacy and interested in cycling and want to see more things that are done positively for bicycles. We want to get the cars off the roads. We want to at least thin it down a little bit and get the bikes on the roads. This is a good thing. This is a good thing to get behind. If you're feeling like you need something, maybe you're recently retired like my friend John is, and you need something to keep you busy. He's so busy, he doesn't know what to do. But anyway, there's, you know, if you want to get involved and you're a cyclist and you want to make a difference, you make a difference by making yourself heard and getting out there and pushing and promoting in any way that you can. So anyway, it's a cool thing. The Bike Summit is a very big deal. I've been unable to attend it. I would love to attend it maybe in the future. I don't know that this year is in the cards, but it would be great to see all this. We also have some local stuff around here, too, that happens through Bike Walk and also through BCCO. So there are other things. If you can't travel that far, there's other places you can go. The other thing that I have here is People for Bikes, which is another strong advocacy group. They just reported in Bicycle Retailer and Industry News, Bike Industry, comma, mark your calendars. People for Bikes announces 2020 fly-in dates. All right. So what does this mean? Continuing a commitment to connecting bicycle and industry leaders with elected officials, People for Bikes is holding three legislative summits in Washington, D.C. in 2020, designed to advance legislative policies that make every bike ride better. These fly-ins, quote-unquote, highlighted different industry sectors and voices and bring more bike industry leaders to the halls of Congress. So the retailer fly-in dates are between March 24th and March 25th, 2020. The women's fly-in dates are between June 16th and 17th, and the executive fly-in is September 22nd through 23rd. These are all in 2020. 2020 is a crucial year for bicycle policies and funding opportunities. The current federal transportation authorization expires in September, so People for Bikes is doubling down on its efforts to ensure that the new bill prioritizes programs that build our connected and protected bike networks. Improving safety incentives and expanding access requires a unified and consistent beat from bike industry in Washington, D.C. So the fly-ins will bring together the entire bike industry from retail to manufacturing to advocacy and connect individuals from each to their elected representatives, providing the critical opportunity to talk about what matters most to the industry and to the riders. Being part of People for Bikes Lobby Day reinforced and amplified this person's desire to continue pushing for policy that supports local infrastructure, recreation access, safer streets. The policies are good for businesses. They're good for the bike industry on a whole. And that's from Allison Staub, president of Burley Design in Eugene, Oregon, and a participant of the 2019 Women's Fly-In. If you're interested in learning more about the fly-ins or you want to nominate a new participant, that's cute. People for Bikes is looking for fresh faces, inspiring leaders, and longtime industry partners alike to join advocacy groups in Washington, D.C. You can reach out to Jordan Trout. That would be jordan@peopleforbikes.org for more information. And remember, People for Bikes' mission is to get more people riding bikes more often and to make bike riding better for everyone. And you can find them at peopleforbikes.org. So check them out. They're good folks. They're doing the right thing. They're moving us forward, hopefully getting us better places to ride our bikes, safer places to ride our bikes, which is really good. And that's a good thing. That's what we need. So I got a couple of other things here on my list today. And one of them is, hey, you remember that guy Chris Froome? You know, kind of gangly guy that looked awful on his bike but won everything he got on? He's back. Uh-huh. Here we go. So Chris Froome is going to be returning to cycling. And where is it here? He's going to return to racing in February. He is the four-time Tour de France champion, and he is going to race in a UAE Tour after 8 months away from racing. He was off his bike it wasn't off his bike, but he was out of the racing scene for 8 months. That's a long time. So, endless months of recovery and more recently speculation over his fitness, Chris Froome has confirmed that he will return to racing at the UAE Tour on February 23rd. Team Ineos posted on their social media accounts Wednesday to confirm that the four-time Tour de France champion would be pinning a number on his back for the first time since the Critérium du Dauphiné last June. Froome crashed heavily during a stage recon, incurring a shopping list of injuries, including a broken femur, ribs, and elbow. Since then, he has been undergoing extensive rehab and only got back on his bike in late 2019. Quote unquote, training's been going really well over here in Gran Canaria. So I'm really happy to announce that I'm going to be starting my season at the UAE Tour next month, said Froome in a video message. After a wave of speculation over the status of Froome's recovery earlier this month, the announcement will quiet those doubting his fitness. Froome has made it very clear that he has big goals for 2020, with a record-equaling fifth Tour de France title and Olympic gold both on his hit list. Team Ineos confirmed recently that defending champion Egan Bernal and 2018 winner Geraint Thomas would lead the team at the Tour this year and avoided outlining Froome's race plans. Froome was quick to confirm that he would do all he could, quote unquote, to be in shape for the French race, calling it, again, quote unquote, the only appointment in his calendar. Froome's return to the Peloton next month will be a vital step in his build to an attempted Tour de France start. So, anyway, yeah, Froome's back. Froome's back. Should be interesting to see. We will see how he came back. I mean, that's 8 months. It's a long time off the bike. That's a really, really long time. And
well, he wasn't off the bike. He was just not
no.
racing.
Well, he was off the bike for probably 6 of those months.
Oh.
Yeah. He had tons of things. I mean, he really broke his body in bits. And, you know, I mean, a broken femur is not something that you walk away from. That's not a 6-week heal.
No, it's not something you walk away from.
No, you don't walk away from it. I know. I shouldn't have said it that way. That was terrible. But anyway, or even ride away from. So, there's the sigh. There it is. I knew it was there somewhere. So, anyway, it just doesn't heal. It's the biggest bone in your body, right?
Yeah.
Right?
It might be.
I believe it is.
I think you're right.
I believe it is. Yeah. And because it's the biggest bone in your body, it's also really hard to break.
Mm.
But when it breaks, it's a big deal. So, anyway, that's what happened to him. And
you're right. It is.
Yeah.
And my concern about him breaking his femur. Now, he may have taken a terrific impact that if anybody had taken, they would have broken it. But I have to wonder if he has bone density issues.
Well, he could because
he's so skinny and he sweats so much. And how much? I mean, he's not starting off with big bones,
right?
And all that cycling and all that sweating and all that mineral loss. I don't know if he may be osteopenic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely something that happens.
I would think in the time that they've had to work with him, they probably checked that.
Sure.
I'm sure.
Sure.
But yeah, that's definitely a problem.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Osteopenic, osteoporotic.
And he's a,
low bone density.
He's a little guy.
I mean,
he is. He's not a big, monstrous guy. He doesn't have a lot of protection when he goes down.
Right.
I know somebody like that.
Huh.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
I know somebody not like that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, okay. Well, this somebody is still recovering from his broken ribs, so.
Yes, and I'm very diligent. I have a little silly weight resistance training workout, and I do it 2 times a week every year. All year.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it.
That's all you get?
He's back. He's back.
Oh.
I think it's a good thing. Again, there's other little things in the news, like USA Cycling has its eye on gravel. Well, give me a big DUH on that one. Last week, and this came out January 16th, last week officials from the national governing body met with representatives for some of the gravel cycling's biggest events this year. The goal was to create official dialogue between USAC and the racing scene that has thus far grown up outside of the national governing body's umbrella of influence. The event was brainchild of Tim Johnson. Shout out to Tim, local cross racer from New England, the development director for USA Cycling Foundation. People are registered to do these events in droves, Johnson told VeloNews. Gravel is on the tip of everyone's tongue. There's a whole lot to be said from learning from the people who are out there doing it and putting in the work. A friend of mine contacted me on Facebook the other day, and I was chatting back and forth with him, and he said, "So, what's with this gravel bike thing?" And he said, "I'm thinking about it," but he said, "I don't really need another bike. And isn't it just like my cross bike?" And I explained to him, it's sort of a cross bike on steroids, and there are some other changes, but my Richie Swiss Cross is still my favorite bike. I love that bike, and I will ride it. I'll ride it where people ride mountain bikes. I just don't care. So it really depends. But anyway,
some of us have skills. Others of us don't.
Well, okay. So the argument on the skills is that if you use a cyclocross bike to do mountain bike style riding, you will get skills very quickly because you're kind of, you either will or you're going to fall down a lot.
I guess you just have to do it.
You just got to fall down a lot. So anyway, that's what I got. I'm going to go down to the calendar here real quick. We're going to wrap this thing up. We have events coming up. I've got this is off of Bike Reg, and there's a NEBRA, New England Bicycle Racing Association Promoter Summit this weekend, if anyone is interested in going into it and doesn't have a UConn women's game to go to. There is, that's in East Hampton, Mass on the 26th. On February 2nd in Bethel, Maine, there's Snowmageddon. That sounds interesting. On February 9th, there is the Framingham Brew Spin in Framingham, Massachusetts. And on the 22nd of February, which I am signed up for, there is the CCAP Winter Swap Meet. So those are things that are coming up really soon as far as that event goes. And then the other thing, there is also a legislative reception hosted by Bike Walk Connecticut, and it is on January 30th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And anyway, you can check out them on Bike Walk CT. And there is also the Safe Streets Summit for Everyone, the National Bike Summit, and that is March 15th through the 17th in Arlington, Virginia, Washington, D.C. You can find out more of that at bikeleague.org. The views expressed on this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. My name is Peddlin' Ron, and you have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my co-host, Fran Storch, a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you've been listening live or on podcast and you'd like to comment, send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, and now on Spotify. If you have a comment, you'd like to contribute information to the show or be on the show as a guest, please send me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep the rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores.